What's up, everybody, and welcome to The Great Divide. I'm your host, F Major, and we about to do the damn thing. The official weapon of the show is wisdom, and the unofficial sport is drum corps. And tonight we got a lot to get to, or today or whatever time it is where you are. We still have a lot to get to, so I'm going to go ahead and jump right in. A lot of you may not realize it, but we are living in a horror movie, and I'm not making it up. I'll give you an example. There is a movie called Carrie. Now, Carrie was a movie about a bitch that got her period and didn't know what it was, so she thought she was dying. She was in gym class. All the, you know, the teenage girls was in there butterball, buck naked, showering. It was it's made in 1979, I believe, was when it came out. And I throw that part about all of them was in there butterball, buck naked, showering because now in the state of heightened sexuality that we live in, it wasn't shit back then, but now it's cringeworthy because that's basically showing underage girls, even though you know they're actresses and they're all above age. It's supposed to be a high school scene, so you get what I'm saying. In any case, she gets a period in gym class. In the shower, she's bleeding, she's terrified. And I can understand, because if you start bleeding from an orifice that you didn't know was coming, you might think you're dying. I've had nosebleeds that wouldn't stop, and I thought I was dying. So imagine how frightened she was. And these other bitches that had already had their period was teasing her and calling her names and telling her to plug it up and shit like that. In other words, they made it a big joke. She was terrified, so she ran to the gym teacher. The gym teacher helped her and all that type of shit. So she go home, she asks her mama, how come you didn't tell me about periods? And her mama, who incidentally is one of the best actors I've ever seen in a role. In fact, I believe she won Best Supporting Actress for her role in this movie. The bitch that played Mama White, that bitch, she got the Grudge beat. She got that little bitch to come out the ring beat. She got all the women who play horror movie monsters beat. She was, and she wasn't even a monster. She was just a Christian lady. In any case, because they were so mean to Carrie about her having her period and telling her to plug it up and all that type of shit, the gym teacher punished them. And when she was punishing them, she punished them by having them do detention in gym class. So they had to do a bunch of push-ups, all that type of shit, right? So then, I'm sorry, it's hard to remember a lot of this because I ain't seen it in so long. But then one of the girls, the meanest one, was talking back to the teacher. And she was like, well, we ain't got to do this old bullshit. This bitch can't make us do a motherfucking thing. And then she said, okay, fine. You are not going to prom. You don't get no tickets. You're not going. And all the other girls were like, fuck that. We going to prom, bitch. You on your own for this one. So she was the only one who got kicked out of prom. And she was so mad, but her anger was misdirected. Carrie didn't do nothing to the bitch. But she decided, well, this is that bitch's fault. I'm going to get back at her. So in the meantime, while all this shit is going on, Carrie's in the library learning that she got telekinesis, right? So she learning that she can make shit happen by thinking about it, basically. Okay. Prom night comes. They ranged the votes for the prom, for the king and queen of the prom, so that it will work in Carrie's favor. Now, I don't know how this bitch didn't know something was wrong, but for her ugly ass to have ended up on the ballot in the first place was a motherfucking mystery to me. Anyway, when that happened, her red flag should have went up. She should have been like, why is an ugly bitch like me on this motherfucker? Anyway, so they did some gerrymandering. Thanks, Republicans. They did some gerrymandering of the votes to make it so that her and the boyfriend of a girl who she was friends with in the school, not even her own boyfriend because she was too ugly to have one, somebody else's boyfriend, to win the homecoming king and queen. And all the time, even as a little child, because I saw this movie when I was like 6 years old, I'm screaming at the bitch, don't go up on that motherfucking stage because you know it's a setup. How can you not know that's a setup when you the ugliest bitch in school, nobody don't like you, then all of a sudden for the prom they say you the queen? This bitch, okay, anyway, that's beside the point. It was very frustrating. So they announced that her and Tommy Ross was the king and queen of the prom. So this bitch gonna march her ass up on that motherfucking stage. And then when she got up there and she's doing her little waving at everybody, that that's another thing that's just absolutely ridiculous. That she got up on that stage and waved at motherfuckers she already knew didn't like her. That, now that I'm thinking about it, this movie didn't make much sense. But just bear with me. I'm taking it somewhere. I'm going somewhere with this. Anyway, so she get up on the stage, her and Tommy Ross. Now, the bitch who was not invited to the prom, the one who couldn't get her tickets because she was teasing Carrie because she had her period. She and her boyfriend, played by John Travolta, who did an excellent job, by the way, even though he didn't have a big part, set it up so that a bucket of pig's blood will fall on her head, you know, because of her period. She blood out her, you know, her, you know what, blood on her head. So when it came to, you know, to the king and queen doing a dance or whatever, that bitch pulled on the rope that was tied to that bucket of blood over their heads and then just drenched her in her pretty ass white gown with blood. The bucket fell off of the beam that it was sitting on and then hit the boy she was up there with so hard in the head it knocked him out. Everybody started laughing. I mean, laughing hard. And while she was on stage, she started thinking about all the shit that had happened to her at the hands of these people while she was going to school there. She was so mad, she was seeing shit that wasn't even there. And you'll have to debate me on this one, people who've seen the movie. But when she saw the teacher was laughing at her, I think that was a hallucination. I don't think the teacher was actually laughing at her. I think the teacher was concerned and looking concerned, but because Carrie heard so much laughter, she just saw the teacher laughing. And that's when she killed everybody in the motherfucking building. This bitch burnt the whole school down. Okay. She burnt up everybody in the, and I mean, killed them in spectacular fashion. All because she was mad because they made jokes about her, which they were wrong. But because they made jokes about her, everybody in the motherfucking school had to die and some people in the town. Fast forward to 2000 and what was it? I think it was 2012. White House Correspondents' Dinner. I don't know why, after Donald Trump talked all that shit about Barack Obama and how Melania's stupid ass, America's Next Top Hooker, went on TV and was talking all that Bertha shit too. See, people keep talking about Melania's not political. She's just in it, you know, for the fame and all that type. No, this bitch went on TV and started talking that Bertha shit. Now, she could have just kept her motherfucking mouth shut, but she chose not to. And when she chose not to, that was when she got involved. So she's not off, what do you say? She's not off target. She's part of this, okay? So I can't imagine why Donald Trump would take his motherfucking ass to the White House Correspondents' Dinner to the president after all the shit he talked about the president. This motherfucker wasn't born in this country. He's from Kenya. But then gonna go show up and sit in this man's motherfucking house after he talked all that shit about him. And at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, they made him look stupid than a motherfucker. They laughed at his motherfucking ass the whole time he was there. Most of the jokes that everybody told was about Donald Trump, and they were fucking funny. They were hilarious. The best jokes, though, the number one, the shit that made me laugh until my stomach hurt, was the jokes Barack Obama told about Donald Trump. Now, he wasn't even actually talking about Donald Trump. He was just talking about shit that Donald Trump had said about him, like the Bertha shit. So one of the jokes he kind of told was, he said, okay, since Donald Trump don't believe I was born in America, I have not only my birth certificate, my long form birth certificate, but I have my actual birth video. And then he played a clip, that clip from The Lion King. With Mufasa lifted Simba up to the heavens and shit. And it was so motherfucking funny. And everybody laughed. And at that moment, that's when I believe Donald Trump said, I'm going to burn the motherfucking country down. And ever since, that's exactly what he been doing. These motherfuckers going to laugh at me. I got the pig's blood on my motherfucking head. I'm burning this bitch down. and he taking out everybody. And all of us regular citizenry, even though we had nothing to do with throwing tampons and shit at him, we ain't had nothing to do with the pig's blood falling on his, none of that shit. We're still locked in that motherfucking school gym. I say motherfucker way too much. In any case, we're living a horror story because he's burning it down. Part of the reason why I think he does what he does is because it's easier to tear stuff down than to actually put stuff into place. So going after all of Barack Obama's signature achievements, much, 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 much easier than trying to put up achievements of his own. The only achievement that they've had since he's been in office was this tax bill. And that tax bill is part of the burning down of the country process. We don't benefit from that. I'm not a Democrat and I'm not a Republican. I don't believe in that system of government. I don't believe in that two-party bullshit. But his supporters, they're in the fire too. The only difference is they don't mind being burned. This is fun for them. Out here on an election night, this is going to be the second part of a two-part podcast. What you were just listening to was what I recorded and posted to the feed 4 years ago at this time. That is how I felt about the results of the election from 2016. If you had access to all the archived shows, then actually some of you have been around since then. I know Matt Diggy listened to all those shows from back then, so I know some of you heard them. But for those of you who haven't, that was from 2016. And now that we're at the election of 2020, I have some stuff to add to it. As you can hear, I'm on my way home from work yet again. I'm going home after a hard day work on election night, and since I won't have time in between when the returns start coming in and now, I figured I'd try to knock this podcast out, or the rest of it, while I'm in the car. Last election cycle was different than any other election cycle I've ever seen. A couple of things were different about it. The first thing is that wasn't it like 17 or 18 Republicans running? Wasn't it like Chris Christie and Lindsey Graham and the Bush that didn't make it and some other motherfuckers? It was like 17 of them niggas. And they ran against Donald J. Trump and lost. And the reason that is important is because Donald J. Trump has been such an awful president that he lowered the bar for everybody who would like to be president permanently. What I mean by that is this. Before 2016, I don't think I've ever seen more than four or five people running for president. Every motherfucking body wanted to be president after Barack Obama. The whole Republican Party ran for that position. And then this year, because the bar is so motherfucking low, we had 21 niggas trying to be the president of the United States in a Democratic Party. I liked all of them, honestly. I liked all of them except for Pete Buttigieg. I didn't like Pete Buttigieg. All y'all know this already. Y'all already know where I'm going with this. Not because he's gay. In fact, I celebrate his gayness. He just wasn't the right nigga to be president because he needed to get his own racial history and his own racial dealing straight in Indiana before he could even think about getting a black vote.
Now, when you don't know a person personally, and when you don't know their politics because they come from somewhere else, you tend to listen to the people who were there. So all of my black friends in South Bend, Indiana, all of the black folks who was in groups who lived in Indiana were saying, do not vote for this guy. And you know what? We have a history of getting the shit right. When have you ever known any niggas to be on the wrong side of history? Right down to Malcolm X. Everybody was against this nigga. He turned out to be right. Black folks do not have a history of being on the wrong side of history. So Pete needed to get his shit straight in South Bend before he could even think about taking presidency. Now, with that said, and as much as I can't stand him, I couldn't stand him. There's only one person I couldn't stand more than Pete Buttigieg, and that's goddamn Tulsi Gabbard. I know a motherfucking Republican when I see one. And I get a lot of backlash for that. But fuck her. Moving on. I like Pete Buttigieg now. I didn't think it would ever happen. I still don't like Tulsi. You don't get to suck Donald Trump's dick on my watch and I'm going to be a fan of you or think that you should have the presidency. You don't get to say that no crimes were committed even though you have no evidence. And expect me to be in your team, Tulsi Gabbard. And from what I understand, the bitch had ties to Russia, but that part of it don't bother me none. And the reason why it don't bother me is because I don't have evidence. I go by what I can see in here. The thing about Pete that I like now is this nigga is going on Fox News every motherfucking day. Fox News has a history of inviting people who they think that they will be able to outsmart. This is why you will often see black Democrats go on Fox News to fight about or argue about black politics or about Democratic politics or whatever. It's because the blonde-haired white folks at Fox News think we're too stupid to argue our points with eloquence. They are motherfucking wrong. They used to invite Al Sharpton all the time. I love me some Al Sharpton. He is not the most articulate motherfucker in the world. But when he makes sense, he makes sense. He sounds better when he has prepared speech, way better. In fact, his prepared speeches are fucking fire. But when you just go and ask him a question, a lot of times he will have a coherent answer, but sometimes he'll gaff in telling that answer or whatever. They don't invite him no more because he turned out to be smarter than they thought he would be. And it's not just him, it's a lot of black folks in the Democratic Party. They used to only invite black folks because they thought they could outsmart us. And now that they're finding that that's not true. So they invite Pete, Mayor Pete, all the motherfucking time. And he just keep handing them L's after L's, losses after losses. And he sounds so good on Fox News. Maybe it's because the bar over there is so low. I don't know. I just know he sounds fantastic in his indictment of the Republican Party. And his reasoning why Biden is not the same dude as Trump, which any motherfucker who has any bit of sense could see that anyway. So we done went from 17 motherfuckers to 21 motherfuckers. Everybody trying to be president because the bar so low. We had Marianne Williamson. Where this bitch come from? Who the fuck is she? And why does she think she need to be the motherfucking president? Do you get what I'm saying? Because Donald Trump set the bar so low, motherfuckers that ain't don't know shit and they ain't got no business in politics are running for the motherfucking office of the president of the United States. Now, turns out I loved a lot of what did she a lot of what she had to say. Her and please don't think that I'm one of these Negroes that only goes by racial shit. Let me explain something to you. Black folks think about being black all the time. It is a part of our being. And white folks often say, why is that the center of their being? Why is that the only thing they think about and talk about? And I'm gonna tell you why, white people. We try to forget. We wanna live in that utopia where race no longer matters too. But the reason why we don't, and the reason why race is a part of everything for us, is because I need y'all to pull out your pens and pads and write this shit down. No matter what we do, whether it's good, bad, or ugly, there is always, 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 always somebody white there to remind us that we still just a nigga. That's the reason. I don't give a fuck what the situation is. It could be something fucking fantastic. It could be the worst crime in the world. They always somebody white there to remind you you just still a black person. That you ain't shit on this earth and you definitely ain't shit in this country. I'll give you some examples. Whenever a black person commit a crime, white folks, not all of you, especially not the ones listening to this show, because if you listen to this show and you do the shit I'm about to say, you listening to the wrong motherfucking show. Okay? You need to go find Laura Ingraham's and them bitches, Megyn Kelly's, who incidentally, Megyn Kelly is to white women what Candace Owens is to niggas. Okay? Understand that, ladies and gentlemen. If a black person commits a crime, there is a demographic of white people, a large one, even some on the liberal side of things, who will say, well, that's what you can expect from them. They're just niggers. They're just black folks. They're on the lower spectrum of the scale of humanity. That's just their behavior. That's just them. They're niggers. But if you have a Serena Williams, in fact, I will use her for an example because I'm just now remembering this. When she took her ass to the British Open or whatever, and she won, and white folks was tired of her beating all them white girls, they started calling her nigger from the stands. This bitch is the best in the world at some shit. She was the greatest. She's still the greatest. And white folks are so mad they're calling her nigger. So do you see what I mean when I say no matter what you do, there's always somebody there to remind you you just a nigger? Here's another one. We don't play football in this country like people play football. We got a whole different football in this country. Most places call football soccer. Soccer and football is the same thing. Soccer and football, I'm talking about the same thing, of course, is all over the world. So there are countries that got nothing but black folks on their team. There are countries that got nothing but white folks on their team. During the FIFA World Championship, there was two teams. One team was from Germany or somewhere, Russia, I don't know, because I don't keep up with soccer like that. But I did see this clip because things regarding race interest me. There was a team from Germany or Russia or somewhere that don't speak English, and they had an all-white team. And they were playing the game in those people's home stadium. Then there was another team that had like three or four black people on it, and the rest of them was white. There was one black guy who just kept scoring goal after goal on these niggas. And they started calling him monkey. And this is the stands. This is like 30, 35,000 people. Started yelling, shouting monkey at him and throwing banana peels onto the field. And if I'm not mistaken, he cried. So he did nothing wrong. He committed no crimes. He excelled at something, but he's still just a nigger to those people. So the reason why black folks focus on their race so much is because you motherfuckers won't let us forget what race we are. But then we'll turn around and say that we the ones that's focused on race. All I got for you is this. Find one of your black friends and hang out with them for a while. And I guarantee you, them being just a nigga is gonna come up at some point when they do something bad and at some point when they do something good. Because the shit that I'm talking about is not just for celebrities. It's for all black people. We've all experienced this. So anyway, back to what I was saying. So I love where Pete Buttigieg is now. And I hope that he gets a seat in Joe Biden's cabinet. Because he's one of those people who's really good at rebutting something on the spot. And I believe that some of his policies are good. But you're not gonna get to oppress my people and me say, oh, you get to be the leader? Oh no, fuck that. Fuck that. The second thing I noticed about last election is that, and I'm not calling women out by saying this. This is not a sexist remark. It is an observation. I have seen women cry before at elections. I've never seen many women cry, but I've seen them cry. I've never seen a Republican woman cry after an election. Only Democrats. I've never seen a black woman cry at an election. And I have definitely never seen men cry after an election. 2016, I saw more women cry than I have ever seen before. I saw black women cry. It was the first time I saw men cry after Hillary Clinton lost. And I know why they cried. They cried because they knew what the fuck was coming. Those people were crying because they understood what just happened. They understood who Donald Trump was, and they understood what he would do. And I'm sorry, but that's enough to make anybody cry. So those are the two things that I noticed about the last election. So tonight, we are faced with a decision. Tonight, we find out that our hard have an alternate ending. I'm sorry, I'm just watching the police to my left, making sure they don't creep up on a nigga. Ain't trying to go to jail. I'm not driving dirty or anything, but I don't trust these niggas, especially now in this political climate, especially since I posted the story to Facebook today about how armed protesters was intimidating voters trying to drop their shit off in the drop boxes in Springfield, Oregon. And I told you niggas that was gonna happen. I told y'all, I said, maybe it'll be better if we go to the drop boxes together as a group. But it didn't happen at the drop box I use, which is the one over there on at Walmart at West 11th. In fact, I seen very few people use that drop box. In any case, we have a chance now for an alternative ending. We have been locked in the gym with Carrie for 4 fucking years. All of us are not dead yet. If we fuck around and elect this nigga again, it's a wrap. Everybody gonna die. And by me saying everybody gonna die, that's a figure of speech. I don't mean we're gonna die literally. Though, some people will, and some people already have in part one of this tragedy. But we have a chance to change the ending. A good ending. Are we gonna choose to do that? Are we gonna choose to free ourselves from the gym? I'm allergic to fire. I don't like being locked in rooms with fire. And Carrie burning this shit down, burning it down. Carrie is so mad at you for dropping the blood on her that she's trying to keep you from being able to let yourself out the gym. This vote is us being able to let ourselves out the gym. And I, for one, want the fuck out. I have seen enough of this horror show. I have seen enough people hurting. I have experienced deaths in my own family related to COVID-19. I have lost 2 very beautiful women. Both of them my aunts in North Carolina, which is one of the states, one of the I think it's called the Red Zone State, because it's Republican run. They don't give a fuck about my aunts. I know Donald Trump don't give a fuck about my aunts. So let's change the ending to this story. I'm tired of being locked in the gym. The truth about COVID, and what I'm telling you is the gospel truth, and I'm gonna try to back it up by evidence. The truth about COVID is this, that it affects black people more than any other race of people, and the elderly. I don't believe that that is a contributing factor as much as access to healthcare is. Now, why do I say that? Black folks don't have very good access to healthcare nowhere in this country. I do because I live in a white place. But if I lived in one of the communities I used to live in, there's no way I would be able to get treated for COVID if I had it. It's just too many people. The same goes for the elderly. When you live in a retirement village or a place like that, they have limited medical experience in those places. They're caregivers, but they can't cure you from COVID. What? And so I say that the number one cause of COVID and the number one reason why people die is access to healthcare. And the reason I say this is because every motherfucker in the Republican Party who attended that stupid ass Amy Coney, Bing Bang, whatever this bitch name is, who went to that shit and caught COVID, they were elderly. One of them was in his motherfucking 80s. They were sloppy fat. Just look at Chris Christie. In fact, on my bingo card of niggas that I thought was gonna die, Chris Christie was on the top of that list. Out of everybody, all of them survived. Every single one of them, the old ones, the young ones, the fat ones, the skinny ones, the ones that are in poor health, all of them survived. You know why? Access to health care. And you know what black folks don't have in this country? Decent access to health care. And you know what the elderly don't have in this country? Fucking access to health care. So yes, it's true that black folks are more likely to die, but it's not because something can't be done. It's because we don't have a proximity to healthcare. That could solve everything. But they're not interested in that for us. They're interested in that for them. And it's why I'm ready to burn shit down. I ain't ever gonna burn shit down because I don't look good in prison uniforms. I mean, damn, okay, well, I could look cute in the black and white stripy shit, but that orange shit they be sporting up in Linn County, and that green shit they be sporting in Linn County, I can't be bothered with all of that. Give me the stripy. If I'm going to prison, give me the stripy shit. I want to look cute in my shit. When I get out of prison, I want to be able to wear my shit to the club, okay? Because I do shit like that. I don't give a fuck. If a bitch see you just got out of prison, she gonna know you got some good dick. She gonna be like, come here, baby. What you wearing this black and white shit for? Oh, I got out of prison. Oh, you coming home with me. The same thing for the hospital. If I can't believe I'm giving y'all all my good pussy picking up tips. If you go to the hospital, okay, and you have to stay in there overnight, they give you this little wristband. And then they put a gown on you backwards with the ass out. If you leave the hospital and forget to take that motherfucker off, so you still got your gown on with the ass out and you still got that band around your wrist, go to the bar. Go to a bar. Go to a club. Go somewhere they got liquor. Sit your broke ass up at the counter. I guarantee you some lonely lady's gonna come sit next to you and go, oh, baby, you don't feel well. And then it's a wrap. Now you got some pussy. I shouldn't be giving y'all all my tips, though. Now I'm just playing. Don't try that. Don't try that. I know some of y'all are desperate enough to try the shit. I don't want to see your ass on 11 o'clock news. I don't want to see Shelly Kurtz covering your motherfucking story. Don't do that shit. I'm telling you. But I got way off track. More than anything, I just want to say, no matter what happens, we keep fighting. If Joe Biden wins office, people are going to get complacent. They're going to want to stop the fight. We can't. We got to keep pushing left. Got to keep pushing left. Got to keep pushing left. Us stopping pushing left is why we're where we are. There are some people who have already conceded the race to Donald Trump. And I'm one of these people who feel like he could win. But even if he does win, we keep fighting. We fucking fight. We don't give up. That's not what the fuck we do. Now this nigga... Now that nigga knew it was my turn to go. Sorry, I ain't mean to stop talking and everything. But we keep fighting. We don't let these motherfuckers get to do whatever the fuck they want with us. For the past 4 years, see, white folks now know what it feel like to be black. Not 100%, maybe 10%. But the oppression you felt during the past 4 years, feeling helpless. Like you can't do nothing. You want to see this motherfucker gone, and you wondering why nobody's lifting a finger to make it happen. You got excited for the impeachment, and then nothing happened. And then he did some more shitty shit. And you were like, well, why the fuck don't you impeach him again? And they was like, nah, fuck that, fuck that. That's what it feel like to be black. Again, you only get like 10% of the experience, but that's what oppression feels like. Doesn't feel good, does it? That's why the fuck you should have stood up when it was happening to us. And I did this show already, so I'm not gonna do it again. But I am going to say this one thing again, and that is, white folks, when you see black folks going through a hard time, fucking step up. Because everything that we go through, I don't give a fuck what it is. Anything horrible that black folks go through in this country is just a precursor to when the shit is going to happen to you. And we have watched that happen. We have watched that happen with the drug wars. We have watched that happen with wage inequality. We're watching it happen right now with people getting killed in the street by police. Now they're killing white folks. And you didn't fucking say anything when it was happening to us. So now how dare you try to speak up for your motherfucking self when you didn't give a fuck when it was happening to anybody else. And the shit ain't working because they still beating y'all motherfucking ass out in the street. That's why the fuck you don't turn your eye when you see a fellow human, a fellow citizen, a fellow countryman in need of help. You help them. And black folks, we always helped. Anyway, I'm getting a little off sidetracked and shit and fired up on an election night. I know one thing. Joe Biden better win this motherfucker. I know that's much. In any case, happy election night. It's time for me to go get my popcorn and watch these returns come in. Election night, because I think it's partly because I'm a political science minor. Election night to me is like the Super Bowl, and I actually watch it. I don't watch sports. This to me is like sports, but it's so much more all stakes because people's lives are affected by the outcome. I'm going to be watching Kentucky. I'm going to be watching South Carolina. I'm, of course, going to be watching Oregon. I'm going to be watching Virginia, North Carolina, Arizona, Martha McSally. This bitch got to go. I'm going to be watching Maine. Goddamn Susan Collins gotta go. Lindsey Graham gotta go. Mitch McConnell, that nigga definitely gotta go. He probably ain't gonna go. But I'm still gonna be watching any motherfucking way. This shit is like the Super Bowl for humanity. So fucking go ahead and grab your popcorn. And just understand that no matter what happens, we don't stop fighting. And if you are listening to this, thank you. And I love you. I will see you on the other side of this. Catch you on the flip side.